Amen. Today we have with us Elder Sister Karen Liverman, and we are going to sit attentively to hear what the Lord give us through her from the gospel of the grace of God, the mystery, the truth for the church in this dispensation, the body of Christ. Let's receive Elder Sister Karen Liverman with a very hearty Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. Have you guys been praying? Oh my God, as you read and look into the Word, it is so exciting. Oh my God, the wondrous, unspeakable riches that we find in His Word are beyond our knowledge and sometimes even my containment. Hallelujah. Well, if you'd be so kind as to bow your head, please pray and be praying with me and for me as we go forth this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you thanking you for the privilege of prayer. Hallelujah. How we can come boldly to the throne of grace, making our requests and our thanksgiving known. Father, we're praying right now for those that are in our audience, those that are yet not here, that are on their way. We're praying, Lord, for those in the World Wide Web audience. Hallelujah. That you might give us all hearing ears and seeing eyes, that we can behold the mysteries of the doctrines of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That we may search the unreachable riches of Christ. Hallelujah. That unfold to us in your dear word. Father, we ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. Lord, and again, we thank you for our pastor. Hallelujah. How you've empowered him and strengthened him to be among us today. Father, we just thank you for that. We ask these prayers that you might be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. This week I kind of felt like Jonah. You remember Jonah in the scriptures? The Lord had given him the assignment of going to Nineveh, which was a very evil place. And they were evil people. They would strip their enemies and hang them on the gates of the city. And it was kind of scary, and their enemies were Israel. And now God is telling Jonah to go down there and preach. Hallelujah. So reluctantly, he didn't go immediately. Matter of fact, he went south. He went away from where his assignment was, and he somehow ended up in the belly of this big fish. And there he and God kind of came to an agreement, and he decided that he would be obedient. I guess he didn't have no other choice being in the fish's belly. And think about how he looked coming out. You know, I'm a visual person. He'd been in there for 3 days, in those digestive juices, those acids. Maybe his skin was eaten off. He looked a mess. No wonder people listened to him when he came forth preaching the message of repentance. He looked a mess. But then after the job was done, then he went up on the hill to watch God work to wipe out all those evil folks. But did God do it? Oh, no. The people repented. Hallelujah. And Jonah got mad. Yeah. And he said, oh, my God. He says, you're supposed to kill all of them. Yeah. Yeah. But God didn't. And then he got, you know, so you read the story. I love the story. We go there to corroborate our word and our doctrine. We don't go there for direction. You don't go to the Old Testament and decide you're going to pull out a fleece to see what God is saying to you. You don't go to the Old Testament trying to quote Hezekiah and the scriptures in Isaiah where Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and got more time. He got more time because God already intended for him to have more time. Hallelujah. So we want you to lift up your thinking from the horizontal view to the vertical view where God is and where the action is. And that's where it's actualized in eternity. Hallelujah. Based on God's eternal decree and that's manifested in time. We see the results of his great working. But when did the working actually occur? It occurred in God's divine decree in eternity before the foundation of the world. We need to keep that straight. Are you praying for me, saint? Oh, my God, I don't want to get away from this. Pastor, did you ever want to get away from something? Yeah, well, I wanted to get away from this, but I'm smack dab in the middle of it. So you guys get ready. When you see me coming, where do I always start? Ephesians, absolutely. We start in Ephesians. And after Ephesians, where do we go? Colossians. Yeah, you may say, Sister Karen, why do you do this? Why do you keep telling us about eternity and predestination and completeness? Because that's what your life is all about.
Yes.
Your real life is your hidden life in Christ and God. Hallelujah. Yes. And I want you to start viewing things from the eternal plane where the action is. Not the manifestation, which is temporary in time, solely for the process that is according to God's purpose. See, the real action is about the purposes of God. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So, reader, will you please turn with me to where? Ephesians.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses beginning with the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Could you please do it in the Greek interlinear? Thank you.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with the first verse, beginning with the third verse, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us, Jesus Christ, the having blessed us with every blessing spiritual in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 4. As he chose us in him before foundation of world to be us holy and unblemished before him in love, predestining us to adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of the will of him.
When did you come to Christ? When did you come to Christ? We think we come to Christ in time. When? We recite the sinner's prayer. When? We go to the mourner's bench. My husband said he was on the mourner's bench down at Galilee Baptist Church down in North Carolina. Yeah? Mourner's bench. When? We get baptized. When? We speak in tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost. When? We put everything in time. But you have to understand that all your blessings, including your salvation, which is the most of all that could possibly be done for us, it is placed in its proper setting, which is eternity. And all things reside originally in eternity. And if you look at this, it talks about every blessing spirituals where? In the heavenlies. Everything originates in the heavenlies. It manifests in time for the purpose. It's the process. The time is used to put out the purpose and divine will of God. But everything is eternal in the heavenlies, including your salvation. You have to put salvation in its proper place, because if you don't get salvation right, the fact that you had nothing to do about it, you didn't contribute anything to your salvation. It was a done deal, hidden in Christ and God in his eternal workings. You don't get that straight, the rest of the stuff going on down here ain't going to make sense either. You're not going to get anything straight. You'll be confused. You'll be afraid. You'll be tossed to and fro. You'll be going to tarot card readers. Hello? Yeah, witches and soothsayers. You'll be seeking them out. You'll be wondering what this one's got to say and following prophecies and every wind of doctrine of men. You need to be free from that stuff. Yeah, I don't read horoscopes. I got too much to read in the scriptures where the truth lies. Yeah, what is the truth? The truth never changes. God's word for us is always the same. God's purpose for you is always the same. And it doesn't have anything to do with the Ebola virus. Hello. Everybody's shaking in their boots because here I told you all a few weeks ago about that, didn't I? Didn't I tell you all about Ebola, how it was over in Africa? Ebola may be around the whole world. But if it is, you're not to be afraid. Hallelujah, you're not to be afraid. Whatever comes, you're not to be afraid. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, realizing that God's got it. You can turn your light off. You can turn your light off. You can take this. This is what counts. This is what is eternal in the heavenlies. This is where our life is. Our real life is our hidden life in Christ. Now, like I said, I had a friend tell me I didn't have enough sense to worry. And I don't. Why? Because I'm beholding the light of God's word. And that gives me confidence. That gives me stability. That will give you confidence. And that will give you stability. Oh yeah, you'll be able to stand up against whatever comes. Roll your sleeves up. Say, bring it on. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. You know that at the end, you win. You win. I don't care what it is. I don't care what. Don't be afraid. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. And you're not going to be able to do it if you don't know where your salvation is. Hallelujah. You're not going to be able to do it if you know where your help is. Where it's always been. In eternity. Hallelujah. In God. Hidden in Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. All right. I didn't mean to do that. That's all right. It's good anyway. Yeah. I every week I say I'm going to get up here and be dignified. But you know, some things just ain't in you. It ain't in me. All right. Go to the next one. And we need that. We need Colossians. We have to understand that nothing is just happening. That things are not just popping up. And see, we need to stop the sight thing. Being moved by what we see and what we can contact with our senses. That's always going to cause us to be unstable. Hallelujah. You're always going to faint and your knees are going to buckle. But we want you to stand strong in the word of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. You can stand on who you are and what he has done for you. Hallelujah. We can have confidence that we never are alone. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. And he's good to his word. Why? Because it's unchanging. Hallelujah. The eternal things are the unchanging things. They're the things that you can, not like what you do with your bank account. You go to, right now we got problems with whether or not they're going to have a chip in the card, whether or not your account's going to be compromised. I don't care. I care because, you know, it's in time, but I realize that this too shall pass. Whatever comes, it comes to pass. That's the reason it comes, to pass. The reason it comes is for God's glory, for his purpose. Hallelujah. Do we understand all the workings of God? Absolutely not. Our finite minds? Oh my God. Just a few thousand years ago, people didn't have any of the things you look around and see. Now, and I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Thomas Edison and some of the great inventors. He made 10,000 attempts to figure out the filament, how the light could form in that bulb. 10,000. And then in the fullness of time, God gave him the idea. God revealed it. But the fact that God revealed it to Thomas Edison, did that change the fact that it always existed? No! It always existed. Yeah, but it was just revealed. And that's how our lives unfold in Christ. What is always, it always is. What is. Why? Because it always has been. And where did it exist? In the eternal workings of God.
Right.
Yeah, get your viewing from the vertical. Hallelujah. And it starts with salvation and our complete hidden life in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, please.
Colossians chapter 2, beginning with the 9th verse. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
And do it, please, in the Greek.
Colossians 2, 9, verse 9 and 10 in the interlinear Greek text. Because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, verse 10, and ye are in him having been filled.
Say that again.
Having been filled who is the head of all rule and authority.
And when were you filled? In eternity, before the foundation of the world. Your life is a completed life that was hidden in Christ in God in eternity before the foundation of the world. No accidents, no coincidences. Something isn't just popping up. Okay? Everything is, and what appears, is what appeared from the eternal view. It manifested in time, which is a creation, for the purposes of God. You know, what is time? Well, you know, time is God's workshop used to perform his plan for his purpose. That's what time is. Time is God's workshop, and its purpose is to perform what God willed and what he spoke in his original decree in eternity. And he uses the vehicle of time as his workshop to reveal that to us as we live day by day. Really, when you start talking about the intervals of the heaven and earth, and that's what our subject is, and I did want to get away from it. I had studied something all week that I was real comfortable with. And what did God wake me up this morning with? The intervals of the heaven and the earth. I don't want to do that, but here we are. I have my fit. I'm ready to go. All right. We are going back to last week's pastor's pen. Hallelujah. That is dated January 14, 2014. It is called Intervals of the Heavens and Earth in the Matrix, and it is an excerpt. In addition to that, once we finish this, because I'm just going to recap what we did there last time I was here, we are going to go to the main, one of the main parts of the document, and I don't know how many pages Pastor actually wrote on this, but he had presented 4 pages to us during our last doctrinal conference. And those in the web, World Wide Web audience that want to look up the document, Intervals of the Heavens and Earth in the Matrix, Doctrinal Conference number 23, May 15th through 17th, 2014. And the title of that conference is God's Eternal Purpose in the Heavens and the Earth. And we did that in May. And to be perfectly honest, most of it I didn't understand in May. Sorry, Pastor, it wasn't about you. Who is our teacher? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Yeah, Holy Spirit. I was reading it, but I didn't really understand everything I was reading. But what did I have to do? I had to depend on the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, and he is your teacher too. He's going to reveal it to you as you pray, and according to his divine will and purpose, it's going to be made light and useful to you. Because I was always, when I said, Lord, why we got to know about the Matrix? Yeah, but you know what? We need to know about the Matrix so that we are not afraid when things appear. So that we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We'll be able to stand, like they say in Ephesians 6, against all the wiles of the devil, against whatever comes. Remember I told you about the devil? We talked about him. He's not God.
No.
He's not originating anything.
No.
He is only following God's will and plan for him, which sometimes intersects with God's will and plan for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We want to blame the devil. The devil did it. Well, the devil's only able to do what God allows him to do. Job proved that, didn't he? You go to Job and see about that. Yeah, yeah. God was initiating that whole incident with Job, and when the enemy comes, you can turn your light. I tell y'all, if he came into my room at night, I'd look at him and turn over and say, it's only you. Why? Because I know that whatever he's coming for, it's according to God's divine will and purpose for me. And it shall what? Pass. It shall pass. So, and if you are viewing life from the vertical plane, you'll be able to stand strong against whatever's coming. And yes, saints, things are coming. Things are coming. Yeah. Okay. Let's look at our document, Intervals of the Heavens and Earth in the Matrix. Nothing in God's purpose should be viewed as such is depicted in sequenced intervals of outside influences. God's purpose was determined, has determined all in completion, which includes every occurrence and manifestly transpires. Not even a sparrow can fall to the ground other than such is the purpose of God. In corroboration, Daniel 4:35 states, "He does according to his will in the heavenly hosts of angels and among the inhabitants of the earth." Lamentations 3:37 states, "Who is he that says, and it comes to pass when the Lord commanded it? There is nothing that manifests except what God has willed, God has ordered, God has appointed according to his purpose." And this comprehension processes are merely revealed components of God's predetermined purpose, wherein the sequences are more in presentations than they are in projections. Thus, completion is prearranged, whereas evolutionary scenarios are contingent upon testimony exertions of sequenced intervals. And that's where we get into the matrix. Remember, we said that the matrix was the containment of the time capsule and that it is frames in intervals of time. We break them down to millenniums. We break them down to centuries. We break them down to decades. We break them down to years. We break them down to months. We break them down to weeks. We break them down to days. We break them down to hours. We break them down to seconds. And within all those intervals could be a millennium of intervals, even in the seconds. We now are able to measure them. We, humans, with our finite minds, are able to measure them down to the hundreds and thousands of a second. We see that in the Olympics. You know, when they have a time for the swimmers or the gymnasts or whoever, whatever's going on with the time, the racers, they show the seconds. And then they say, I have show a dot, and then they show three or four numbers sometimes behind that, where they're measuring them in those small, tiny frames and fragments. That's what the matrix is. It's the measurement and containment of time. Now, why do you need to know that? We know that time is finite. And time is not segmenting eternity. It's interfaced in eternity. And that's why we need to understand, keeping in mind that it's all segmented intervals and that they are all according to the will and design and purpose of God. Things don't just appear, but they appear, we think they're random appearances and occurrences, but they're not. They're all preset. Preset. They're eternal. They were designed and originated in God. Hallelujah. In eternity. And last week we talked, when I was here 3 weeks ago, we talked about the Sea of Galilee storm and how Jesus said, peace, and the winds and waves obeyed. We talked about feeding the 5,000, and those were 5,000 men. Remember I talked to you about there's the fact there's no liberty for women outside of the glorious gospel of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Even in the world today, even where we live here in Michigan, and we have the largest population of Arab Americans or Arabs outside of the Middle East living right here in Southeast Michigan. And it's not uncommon to go through Dearborn or Dearborn Heights, Michigan, and find women walking behind the husbands. Husband walking three or four paces ahead of the wife. Or in the car, the husband's in the front seat. The wife is in the back. And yeah, some of them got burkas on. You can just see their eyes. No liberty. They can't. They have no say-so in family matters. They can't, outside of Christ, women can't own property. They can't run for offices. Many girls cannot even go to school. So we thank God for the liberties in which we have in Christ. Because Galatians chapter 2 tells you there cannot be a difference between male and female. That there cannot be a difference between bond and free. There cannot be a difference between Jew and Gentile. There cannot be. Not that there's neither. We say neither in King James, but the Greek interlineal says it cannot be. That we are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! And that's something to praise God about. But we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, and that was counting the men only. You know, everywhere you go, there's going to be more women and children. And that wasn't even including, we weren't counting, it's counted in the number. So it was even a greater miracle than just the 5,000. And how do we say Jesus did it? He broke, he prayed, he broke the bread, broke the fishes, and then they kept breaking bread, breaking fishes, and going on and on, and ended up with 12 baskets full afterwards, after feeding all of them. Yeah, we talked about that the other time. And then we talked about Lazarus being raised from the dead, how he had been in that tomb all those days, 4 days. Yeah. and how Jesus, his sister was very sad and told him, you know, if you had come, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, oh, you'll see him again. He said, oh, yeah, I know I'm going to see him in the resurrection. He said, oh, no, you're going to see him right now. You're going to see him now. And she did. So we went over those things, how all those events were purposed for God, from God in eternity, for his eternal purpose, for us even today. It was about us. Lazarus being risen from the dead. Jesus being the sufficiency. Hallelujah. When there were no sufficient means. Yeah, yeah. The Sea of Galilee, because we always look at the surroundings and talk about things that are, you know, acts of God. God wanted to take the sting out of all those things, those calamities, for us even today. And then the one we didn't do was healing of the blind man from birth. And we're going to talk about that one today. John chapter 9 charts the man who was blind from birth. This is quite different even in physical processes from one having been lost their sight. Yet the progression is solely captive of its testimonial intent, as the underlying function of the condition having been previously assigned expressly for that specific purpose. Physical deficiencies are not in themselves the repeals of previous health parameters, neither genetic processes, but resignations autonomous of humanly resolved intervals. Such are solely definitive in the scope of God's divine for his eternal glory. And I'd like you to turn. We're going to reference John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. And reader, would you be so kind as to read that for us?
John chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.
Can you read that in the Greek interlinear for number 3, please?
John chapter 9. Beginning with the first verse in the interlinear Greek text. Again, John chapter 9, beginning with the first verse.
Third verse, please.
Third verse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Answered Jesus, neither this man sinned, nor the parents of him, but that might be manifested the works of God in him.
Amen, amen. The man was blind not because of sin. He was born blind. He came here blind. And the disciples asked Jesus, well, this was because of his parents' sin. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Testament, and it says the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And it talked about the sins of the fathers being passed on and manifested in the lives of the children. And some of us think that way. We think because of what's going on in time that it had something to do with us. Something that we coulda, shoulda, woulda, something we didn't, something we, you know, did we march around 12 times and touch the ground and recite the alphabet? Did we tell a lie that we didn't remember, that we didn't repent of, that we didn't ask somebody to forgive us from? Are things occurring in our lives because of what we do? Because that goes back to synergistic thinking, where you are co-piloting with God. And have it straight in your mind, beyond a doubt, we are not co-piloting with God. Your life is a completed entity in Christ, in God, that was preset in eternity before the foundation of the world. Didn't have anything to do with what you did or didn't do. It had everything to do with Jesus and his finished work, his shed blood. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Election in salvation. The fact that you were chosen in eternity before the foundation of the world. So, I don't want you to be heavily burdened with the fact that something you did that impacted what God did. Were you there when everything was framed? You were not. That was settled also in Job. Remember, Job was questioning God? And God said, hey, wait a minute, hold it. He said, were you there when I got the mountains and I separated the seas? And, you know, did I need your help and opinion then? And saints, God don't need yours now. Amen. It's already done. Your life is completed in Christ in God, and it was done, designed, created by God for you. Hallelujah. So there are no mistakes, no coincidences. Whatever is, and it is for God's will and testimony according to his design purpose for you. So that's what he was talking about here. And they wanted to know who had sinned. Because keep in mind, I love the fact that God has Deacon talking about election. The reason he's talking about it week after week is because somebody needs it. Somebody has to have the affirmation that you are elected in eternity to be part of the body of Christ. That it's not about what you do or didn't do. I like the fact that God has Elder Liverman talking about the differentiation of the Gospels. Because some of y'all sitting even here been eating Bible soup. Yeah, you've been mixing those Gospels up. You've been talking about what went on with the Red Sea dividing and what happened with Jonah. And how Jonah could have did this, or how Abraham could have done that, or how, you know. And you bring that in over to where we are now, where we have liberty in Christ. Why do we have liberty? Because the gospel of the grace of God will liberate you. Oh, yeah, it'll set you free. It'll make you have vertical viewing. Get away from all this horizontal sightseeing. And that's how God has him kind of anchored. And I'm thanking God. Then I'm still trying to figure out why he got me here in the matrix. Oh, my God, but I'm here. Hallelujah. So y'all just sit back and enjoy it, because I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's here today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm now turning to our document entitled Intervals of the Heavens and Earth, the Matrix. And this is the one from conference number 23, May 15th through 17th. And it starts, the inception of God's creative acts was generated in the eternal setting in the heavenlies, which entail the host of all ultimately manifested in his decree. And we reference Hebrews chapter 11. And in your study, you know we are a Bible teaching study ministry. I want you to read Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 to 3. We're not going to go over it today, but and my husband even told me, he says, you're Karen, you're not going to be able to do all this. And he's right, I'm not. But because I want you to read it. The displays of such are strictly assigned to the universe, in particular the earth, within time. In this sense, the earth within its subjections ultimately resides in manifestations as testimony in temporarily non-reconciled matters, yet in complete revelations of God's eternal will and purpose. Creation actually began in the realm of God's divine decree in the heavens as precepts in the mind of God. And I'm going to read that again. All creation actually began in the realm of God's divine decree in the heavens as precepts in the mind of God. And that includes you. That includes you. God had in his mind a perception of what he wanted you and your life to unfold to be. Apart from what you do. Now, keep in mind, are we giving you permission to sin and live loosey-goosey? Absolutely not. As you know better, you always do better, don't you? But your sonship position in Christ can never change, can never be altered. Hallelujah. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. And what he has for you is for you. You know, we had women's fellowship yesterday, and Sister Debbie, I know she doesn't mind me telling this, Sister Debbie had a testimony for us of how she had withdrawn a large sum of money from the bank, and then lost the envelope with the money in it. And as you know, she's a single woman. You don't know, but she is. She's a single woman, and she works real hard for her money. And this was going to be it was going to impact her budget, and it was going to impact her life in a very negative fashion. And she didn't know what to do. But I know she prayed. But if she hadn't prayed, God already had it fixed up anyway. Yeah. She called, she backtracked her steps and called the place where she was, where she thought she might have lost the money. And lo and behold, she ended up talking to the owner of the business, who told her a woman had called and said her brother found the money and that they wanted to return it. How often does that happen? How often does that happen? I mean, hundreds of dollars, almost $1,000 was returned to her. That's a lot of money for me. It might not be a lot for you, but that's a lot of money for me. That would make a difference between me doing a whole lot of things. Yeah, and next time I get paid in between. The woman had called and said they had the money. Her brother, who was a disabled vet, a needy person, hello, called her down, said him, said, hallelujah, God done blessed me. He said, I'm afraid somebody has a big problem. And the sister said, yeah, and we can help solve it. So the woman, Debbie called the woman. She described the envelope, the bank where the money came from. She described the amount. She described the denomination. And the girl said, I'll meet you there in a half an hour to give you your money back. Can we give the Lord a hand? Hallelujah! 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 Now you may say, wow, why did she lose the money? Do you know we don't understand all the workings of God? But let me tell you what resulted in it. The woman who returned the money came to our church yesterday. Hallelujah! Yeah, her and her friend came yesterday. He was the only man in our men's fellowship, apart from my brother who comes to help serve us faithfully every week, every month. My brother comes and he helps us. He's a good cook. See, y'all can tell. Yeah, he's a good cook. But he came, and the reason he came was to see to make sure we were okay, and that she was going to be okay with us. He stayed for the whole time. She stayed for the whole time. And guess what message they heard? They heard the message of the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. God might have caused that whole incident just to get them here to hear the message of the grace of God. We don't understand why it happened. We thank God it had a good positive outcome. But we don't understand what appears and why it appears in our lives. Was she anxious about the money? Absolutely. But did God change the outcome from what normally would have happened? Absolutely. And when did that all occur? Did it just occur as she was walking through those incidents? It was preset in eternity. And if you think back on your life, there are many instances that can come to your mind where things were preset, where you thought the outcome was going to be negative, and God turned it for your good. Hallelujah. He turned it for his glory. Hallelujah. But even if he didn't turn it, there may be some bad reports that we don't get a good outcome on. Is that the devil? Or is that God doing something that was worked out in eternity that is going to unveil itself in intervals in time for his testimony? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He brings the sunshine and he also brings the rain. Yeah, he brings the sunshine and the rain. He brings the good and the bad. And some people say, well, you know, God is good and he only bring good. He don't, you know, No. That's not how it actually is. How it actually is. It's how it manifests, and how it manifests is how God intended it to manifest. God, you know, we had an incident as well. Sister Marlene, who's here, she lives in North Carolina, but she still kind of lives here too and helps us. And, you know, she and I were running some errands on Friday, and a car lost control and jumped from the embankment as an entry for the freeway and ended up in our lane going the opposite direction, headed directly for us. She and I braced for impact. And then just like it jumped over that embankment and ended up on the wrong side, the man ended up steering it around to the right side. Why? We would have had a direct impact, but it never happened. You know why it never happened? God never intended it to happen. Yeah, God never intended it to happen. Think back on your life.
what? There are things that were supposed to be that were not. And that's because of the activity that is preset in the matrix. That's why you are to walk by faith and not by sight. That's why you are stand, having done all, stand, realizing that God always has the last say-so. Always has the last say-so. So, creation actually began in the realm of God's divine decree in the heavens as precepts in the mind of God. The revelations of God's perceptions are expressed through his portrayals in manifest creation, which were adapted for display in the earthly realm. Everything should be looked at in terms of eternal intentions, rather than how they visually appear.
Right.
Hence, all things are in actuality according to their eternal design. That car didn't hit us Friday because God didn't design it to hit us.
Right.
Maybe God was taking the man who possibly was distracted either from using the cell phone. Maybe he had some substance problems. We don't know what was going on in his car. We do know that when we were bracing, when we saw the car heading toward us, I said, Jesus. That's the word. That's the one to call on.
Right.
Yeah. And we were holding on, bracing for the impact that never happened. But all that was for God's eternal design. Do we understand all the ramifications behind it? Absolutely not. Does Debbie understand all that happened? The reason her money was back in her hand after being out of her possession for probably an hour or so? No, we don't understand that. But we know God has a design and a purpose for everything under the heavens, including your life.
Yes.
Amen. We want to reference again Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. And I want you to add to that Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Yeah, my husband said I wouldn't have time, and I don't. But I want you to read it because we'll probably be visiting that, Lord be willing, again. In this enlightenment, Genesis isn't quantitative of how old the universe is. Genesis 1, verse 2 through 2, verse 1 don't quantify assessment and durations of creation in the heavens and earth. Genesis 1, 2 states, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. When was the beginning? Where did this marvelous action of creation take place? Was it in hundreds, thousands, millions, or billions of years, as evolutionists believe? Actually, it was rooted in what the scriptures teach about the ages of the heaven and the earth. Scientific problems incur in determining creative ages incite curiosity about how old they are. Also, how were these disciplines developed in generations and considerations of their realized structured witnessing? Now, note this. The pertinent problems with determining the ages of the universe is that physicality affords no reliable relativity base for assessing occurrences. Therefore, beliefs in scientific physicality are opposed to reveal factuality in scriptural spirituality. What am I saying there? What was the pastor trying to convey to us? The fact that you cannot explain spiritual with physical. I'll say that again. You cannot explain physicals. You can't explain the spiritual with the physical. Now, you can explain the physical with the spiritual because that's where it originates. You all getting that? Everything that you see comes from something that was unseen. Everything that you see comes from something that was unseen, unbeknownst, incomprehensible to us. And that's where the problem lies, because we think we should know it all. We think that we and our finite minds have the ability to understand all the eternal workings of God, and we don't. We don't. Even in this modern age of computers and scientific knowledge and all that we still have questions that we cannot answer. We still, the mega scientists, the most brilliant men on the earth, still have equations they can't close because they all go back to, in the beginning, God. Yeah. They can't close them because physicality cannot explain spirituality. And the science who are going by physicality as the all in all get stumped. And they cannot close those equations. And saints, you're not going to be able to close the ones in your life either. You're not going to be able to figure it out. We're not, we weren't intended to fit. The Bible says, didn't Paul say, we look through a glass dimly? Many things are not going to be explained until we are with Jesus face to face. We're in the body. We're back where we started in the body of Christ. And then some things may not be explained to you because it's not pertinent according to God's purpose for you. So we have to realize that physicality can never explain spirituality. Okay, we're going to end up with this one more thing. When scientism claims that the universe is X billions of years, it is what they believe in lieu of what they really know. And what do they know? A minute amount. Any valid inquiry into when it actually happened is strictly in relativism of how such is quantitatively observed as authentic witness to the event. Scripturally, solely the Maker Christ was present when the world was created because everything is in Him. And we reference Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, Colossians 1:16, and St. John 1 and 3. Thus, infused faith fully induces trust and conviction about the creation of the world as none other witness is availed in creation to witness the event. And we already talked about Job, and that reference is Job 38, 4 to 7. Knowledge of the starting point is the founding of the beginning. In this life, the creation of things upon the earth is not specifically stated in Genesis 1:1, but rather where reference is made to God revealing creation. Hence the statement of Genesis 2:1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them does not consider expressions in the prior verses as enactment of things that did not previously exist. And I'll say that again. It's not describing something that did not previously exist. Did you know all things are in Him? And they've always been in Him. They're only manifesting in time for us, for His will and purpose. It's the process that is driven by the purpose. You all got that? So just because you don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. You know, we always talk about that eyewitness testimony. That depends on where the fraction of light is hitting as to what you see. You and I can see and be present at the same event and have different interpretations. Because of the fracture of light that I'm seeing, what angle you're seeing, and it looks completely different, but it is the same. But where did it come from? It came from the eternal workings of God. So what we see comes from what was unseen.
Right, right.
You all got that?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
In fact, the revelation of the heavens resides previously in revelation of the proceeding on earth. Scripturally, it is reliable that the heavens factually precede what is described as in the beginning in Genesis 1 and 2 through Genesis 2 and 1. And we need you to study that. We need you to study Colossians 1 and 16 and 17. We need you to study Hebrews 11 and 3. We need you to study to make sure that you understand that what we see firmly comes from what was unseen in the heavenlies, in Christ, in His eternal workings. Hallelujah. How big is God? Is He this big? Is He this big? Is He how big? Everything is in Him. Everything is in Him. And the creation, science has proven that the universe is yet expanding. You know, we look at the Science Channel. Sometimes it's boring to me, but my husband likes it. Okay. My husband likes it because he's got more of a scientific mind. He's more of an intellectual than me. But sometimes I can even understand some of the things. And I do understand the fact that the universe, according to science and our finite minds, is expanding at the rate of 186,000 miles per second, and it still doesn't fill God up. Everything that is in him. And everything we see is according to his design and will and purpose for us to see right now. There's so much that's not revealed. There's so much that we don't know about. But in all, we can trust God, realizing that, yes, it might not always be sunshine. Yes, there may be some times of rain. Yes, it might be a storm. But we realize that it comes to pass and that we win according to God's design, will, and purpose for us. Walk by faith and not by sight, saints. View life from the vertical view of our plan of salvation and what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his death, blood, and resurrection. And this will bring peace to your daily living. May God bless you.
Come on, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus.